Merħba għal-program Minajnejn Barrani, fejn jiena Colin Fitz niltaqa' u niddiskuti pajjiżna ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni oħra għamlu lill-Malta id-dar tagħhom. Il-programm jixxandar kull nhar ta' tlieta fit-tmienja filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll jinstab fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM. And in today's program, I'm speaking to Anita Takac from Hungary. And Anita is going to introduce herself by saying how long she's been in Malta and what she does.
My name is Anita Takac. I mean Takac Anita, because we're one of those countries that the surname comes first instead of the first name. 24 years old and been here for more than 4 years by now. I'm working at Hard Rock Bar Malta as a server for like the last 2 years.
Okay, that's already an interesting point. What do you mean, one of those countries that puts the surname first? I mean, in normal conversation, I refer to you as Anita, right? Not Takac.
But for us, for our culture, it's like the surname is the more important one, not the first name. Because that's from your family, that's from your father, so we put that one as the first one. But I still think that we are the only ones in Europe, actually.
So you mean when you introduce yourself to someone, you would say, I'm Takac Anita, not Anita Takac?
Exactly. I'm Takac Anita. And even in schools, for example, I was called like, hey, Takac, and I'm like, oh, all right, that's me. So, okay. Yeah, for us, that's more important because that's your family name, so...
We do get places where the surname comes first. In school sometimes, when the attendance roster is being taken every morning, I would have been called Fitz Colin at school. But in general, when you introduce yourself, you'd say, my name's Colin Fitz, you know? So that is already a difference between our two countries.
Yes.
So, Anita... you're from Hungary. Let's talk a little bit about Hungary for those people who have never been and for the purpose of this program to learn about different countries in comparison to Malta. So Hungary is in Central Europe. It's quite a large country. Could you tell us a bit about the population and other information about Hungary?
So, not that large, actually. I mean, comparing to you, everything is large. I mean, all the rest of the countries. Population has around 9 million. We used to learn it like 10, but I'm telling you, I'm not the only one who left the country and went abroad. So, by now, I think it's about 9.5 million. Mm-hmm. Who has extremely cold winter with minus even up to 15, 16. Hot summer just like over here, but there's no humidity, but still we can have like 38, 40 degrees in the summer. So it's like extremely cold meets extremely hot during the year. What else could we say? Oh, and it's not next to Russia, because since I'm here, everybody's guessing that we're neighbors with Russia. And they really take it for granted that I can speak Russian, actually. And when I used to have these Russian clients at the places where I was working before, the supervisor came around and they were like, and she was like, ah, table 32, can you please serve them Anita? And I'm like, why? Because they're Russian. And I'm like, so what? Mm-hmm. That you can speak the language, you know, so you could help your colleague out. And she does this funny face like, I don't want to help. And I'm like, no, don't take it for granted. I'm from Hungary and we have nothing to do with the Russians. No, we're not neighbors and I don't speak Russian. Yet.
it's an assumption, I suppose, that people make when people group Hungary with all the other Eastern European countries, and people still think, you know, in the mindset of the before the Cold War ended, when the Eastern Europe was sort of united in the Warsaw Pact versus NATO in the West, so it was the West and the East. But even then, I mean, Hungary was its own country, even though it had the Russian influence. But yes, these assumptions are something that I'd like to tackle in this program, but we'll discuss that a little bit later. Do tell us, which are your neighboring countries then?
So, we have 7. You have Slovakia up in the north. Then going to the west, you have Ukraine, Romania, Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia, and back to the top again, Austria.
That's a lot of countries. Do you have a sea in Hungary at all?
No, we lost that. We used to have till the First World War, and now it belongs to Croatia, that part.
So that was access to the Adriatic Sea when Hungary was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Okay, yeah, that we lost since 1920.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we lost like 2/3 of the country.
Of course, up till 100 years ago, Hungary was a very powerful country as part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. It was the heart of that big empire in Central Europe.
Yeah, but we did a kind of unlucky decision supporting the Germans within the First World War. So, yeah, they realized that, yeah, it's a big, powerful country. So they just chopped us into pieces, kind of, in a really ugly way. But that's what happened. Because all the neighbor countries, they got these certain parts. For example, Slovakia, you had no, like, proper Slovakia before. Now they have.
Do you get taught history in Hungarian schools, and do people still feel aggrieved, maybe, or have strong opinions about decisions that were taken 150, 20 years ago?
They're still pretty obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they're like, when we mention these things, like, for example, there are the foreigners. For example, I mention it. We're always like, yeah, because we used to be a big one, and they don't really get the story. For example, over here, many times I was telling them, like, because still the First World War, we were like a big country, and the neighbor countries got certain parts, and they're like, what? And even that, they don't understand it. You feel it like, oh, I'm talking about our loss, you know, you should get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel pretty obsessed till nowadays, actually. Mm-hmm. And even the ones that had to get the other nationality. I mean, Slovakian parts, the ones over there, they became Slovakians, and the others, so on. They're still pretty obsessed, and they were about to get this dual citizenship, mm-hmm. and they always consider themselves Hungarians.
So you're talking about people who feel Hungarian, but they are now living in the part of, they're living in Slovakia, or countries that were created 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's both parts. The ones that stayed in Hungary, remained in Hungary, and the ones that they had to, you know,
live outside
of
Hungarian borders. However, you must admit that there were groups of people, such as Slovakians, for example, or Romanians, who wanted their independence from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And, well, I mean, it's pretty much their right to have their own little nation, right?
Well, I know that we were, like, kind of losers to lose all those parts. And even those, I mean, the Slovakians, Romanians, there were always these kind of incidents, and they were not really happy that from one day to another there's a Hungarian coming over, like, oh, I'm Slovakian. So it was pretty tense. It always been, I mean, nowadays it's kind of pretty okay. The Hungarians are speaking Slovakians. They are considered as Slovakians or Romanians, not just Slovakia. Don't take me wrong. I don't have anything against Slovakia. So the same goes for Serbians, Austrians, everywhere, actually.
I mean, the problems that were created around the time of the First World War, when Austria-Hungary was split up into different countries, the Balkans, we all know what happened in the Balkans right up to recent years, and that all came out of the big empire that was Austria-Hungary that had lasted for a few hundred years. However, now that Hungary and Slovakia and Romania, you know, the countries around you, most of them have joined the European Union, surely there's been a little bit more peace and cooperation between you?
Let's say, but we still have these tiny things, like even a couple of years ago, there were these guys in Serbia,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of Hungarian guys, and there was a big fight. It was on the TV for like 2 weeks back home in Hungary, that just because they were speaking Hungarian and they saw the Hungarian number plate instead of in front of the place, in front of the pub, they started this fight, and they all took it like racism, that just because they were Hungarians. So we still have these things nowadays. Even over here, once there were these guys from Romania, and they were asking about my nationality, and I was like, Hungarian, and, you know, they start these funny faces, and they're like, oh, from Hungary. Yes, from Hungary. So we still have these...
There are still people who feel animosities and, okay, between the different races, where the borders touch.
We're not best friends. I don't think that we're gonna just, you know, like, sit down, oh, yeah, let's talk about the past, yeah, just with a couple of, you know, beers or something. No, we're still a bit...
Yeah, there's still problems with what happened in the past and open wounds. How interesting to hear that these things happen, even in, for us Maltese, we think of Europe as sort of one whole, okay. Sometimes we think of it in the terms of West and East, even though Hungary is actually Central Europe, not really East. But there's all these issues on borders, and on the top there's the sheen of we're all European Union members, but there's still these rivalries and problems between countries and between peoples. However, let's talk about Hungary itself. You said a lot of people have left Hungary, and you were being a little bit perhaps sarcastic. Are there economic problems in Hungary? Why is it that so many people, including yourself, decided to find work abroad?
Let's say really, really nice country with really, really bad government. So the economy is kind of just getting worse and worse, and it's like just so ridiculous, and it's really hard to live over there. We don't have, not even the, we're part of the EU just like the same year we joined, like Malta, but we still don't have the euro as currency, and that's weak, that's pretty lame as well. So the economy really makes us like leave, go abroad, and since we joined the EU we can do it. I mean, it's much easier. So people really started going, and I'm telling you, England, Germany, even Sweden, Austria, Netherlands, Switzerland, Malta. It's full of Hungarians.
Is there a big Hungarian community here in Malta?
There's just right over here in Budziba, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. When I came over here, it was like 4.5 years ago. It was just from the same town, 15 of us.
From the same town in Hungary?
Budziba, Ural, the Szempos, Bay Area. From the same town only, and we're not talking about the capital, the big city, you know? It's just like a smaller town. And we were 15 of us. Then there's a lot in St. Julian's.
So there are quite a few Hungarians here in Malta that you know, and you spend time together, and maybe you get together to celebrate Hungarian festivities and things like that?
That one, not much. It's just like you get so that used to the things over here that, for example, we have our public holidays. We had the latest one, it was 6th of October, and I didn't realize that it's 6th of October. I'm so that used to it that over here you don't celebrate it. I mean,
I see. What is the 6th of October for Hungary?
So when we had the freedom fight and we apparently lost it.
Against who?
The Austrians.
Oh, I see. So even when it was Austria-Hungary, there was friction between the Austrians, who were more dominant, and the Hungarians, which were the chief countries in the Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
We always wanted to get rid of them, let's say, in a nice way. Okay. No, we were always about to get our freedom, obviously. So we always had these fights, I mean, these wars, actually.
And the 6th of October was what year, do you recall?
1849, I think. 1849,
okay.
It was execution, actually. The ones, the heads of the government, they were killed that day, 6th of October. So for us, it's like a holiday.
Yes, we have something similar in Malta. Maltese patriots who would have fought against whoever was the foreign occupier at the time, although some people perhaps wouldn't have considered them occupiers. But history is very complicated. Which city are you from in Hungary?
So, it's Sajó St. Péter.
Could you say that again?
Sajó St. Péter.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sajó is the name of a river over there. St. Péter basically is St. Peter, one of our saints. So, Sajó St. Péter, actually.
Okay.
It's next to the third biggest city, actually. And mainly, I didn't spend that much time over there in my town. I was always, like, going and, you know, going to school over there, hanging out over there. Just spending my days over there, so...
In the third biggest city, which is close to your village?
Which is Miskolc. Always been a big industrial city.
Yes, tell me a bit about the resources that Hungary has. You say it has a bad government, but if it had a good government, would Hungary be able to be a prosperous nation? Do you have resources? Do you have, I don't know, oil or things you could sell? I mean, are there lakes? Could it be a happy, prosperous country with good governance?
Okay, let's go back to this. Because we lost the territories? No, it's true. Since we lost those territories, we lost the Romanian part, Transylvania, which was with full of woods, the trees. Then we lost the one that I mentioned, Croatia, the sea. So we became pretty weak for the 20th century. So I'm not sure. I mean, without that government, if there's someone else above us, I'm really not sure how they could.
So in general, I mean, for example, here in Malta, for many years, a lot of people were employed in the dockyards and shipyards in Valletta, building ships, fixing ships. And now, of course, a lot of people are involved in tourism because tourism is one of our big industries. People are employed in the financial services industry, gaming. These are the kind of industries that are big for Malta. What industries or jobs are common in Hungary?
Used to be agriculture.
Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but by the time, you know, it's all getting more, how you say it, modern?
Less people, more machinery.
Yes, so it lost its power, actually. I mean, it cannot hire that many people as it used to be. So that one's like from the top, deep down. So what else? Tourism, not that much. We have the Balaton, Lake Balaton. We call it the Hungarian Sea. Mm-hmm. It's not a sea, and it's not that big, actually. It's compared to our country, it's a big lake, but, for example, just check the lakes of Finland. I'm telling you, it would be just a tiny pond, little pond, Balaton. But that one, full of German and Russian tourists, mainly. Even Budapest, but Budapest, come on. Everybody's been to Budapest. when they're asking about my nationality, and I'm like, I'm from Hungary, and they're like, from Budapest, we were there, you know. So Budapest and Balaton are the main things. But still, the rest of the country, if it's about tourism, not that much.
Yes, Budapest. I've never been myself, but I do see it advertised sometimes, even for weekend breaks. There's low-cost airlines that fly there, even from Malta, as far as I know. Yes. I think even our national airline flies there. It is quite an attractive, beautiful city with lovely architecture, isn't it?
Is it? And we have, yeah, as you mentioned, we have the Wizz Air, and even Air Malta is going over there. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice one. If you just have a look at even the parliament, it's huge. I don't know what style it is actually, but we have many of the things remained even after the Second World War, because there were these, you know, like bombing, etc.
Yes.
But Budapest stayed pretty much. We were pretty lucky with that, actually. So
it's worth visiting. I mean, give Budapest, give your capital city a push. Entice our listeners to give it a visit.
We have such a good nightlife.
Oh, good nightlife. It's well known for good nightlife. Why are you laughing, though? What sort of nightlife?
when the foreigners are asking, what about Budapest? What about Budapest? You know, you would start, like, you could see this one, you could visit that one, and they're like, so how's the nightlife? Clubs? Okay. Then the next. The pubs? Alright. But we have the statue, and no, they're all about asking, like, nightlife, if it's, like, you know, so that we will, etc., that they have we're full of pubs, discos. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. They're not really interested about the historical things.
The history,
you know?
And the art and the culture.
I would start like a nerd, you know, that there's this place, you could visit that church, there we have that castle, and all they want to know if they can go out during the night, like there are discos, pubs, this one, that one.
Well, you are 24, so maybe the kind of people who are asking these questions to you are in your age group, who are more interested in nightlife, while you are interested in both. I assume you are interested in nightlife a bit as well.
Kind of. Let's say. No, Budapest is my love. Budapest is not like I go over there to get wasted. No, that's my favorite city. And when they're asking, because I've been to a couple of countries, it's not like I have such a big list, but being 24 years old, I've been to a couple, and I'm telling them, they're asking, so which one is your favorite? I'm like, Budapest. And they start laughing and they find it ridiculous, but I'm like, yeah, because it's cool, and I really enjoy being over there. And when I remember when we used to go for these school trips, and we were like, we're going to Budapest. Yeah, Budapest! So I was always so that obsessed. I mean, I would still get lost, I think, first of all, because I'm not good with directions. Second, I always need to learn a big city, then I forget and I lose all the directions, etc. But I love it, so I'm really obsessed with it, and that's my favorite.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, some Maltese people are obsessed and very proud of our small capital city, Valletta, and why not? Tell me about your neighbors. You mentioned German and Russian tourists. Do you have a big connection with Germany, for example, which is probably the most powerful country that's close to you, although not exactly neighboring, but you're not too far from Germany, which is the powerhouse of Europe, isn't it?
Because of the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy, because they were always like kind of...
There was a connection.
We had the connection, yeah, with the economy, etc., etc. Then we were supporting them, First World War, then we were supporting them again, Second World War, because we didn't learn from the first one. We really had to go for a second round. I don't know how many times even the Austrians, they tried to make us learn the... they tried to put the German as official language back home. And since I was a kid, still stayed like the Germans, just like for the Maltese, the English, I think, and Hungarians, they all learn German as second language over there. I mean, now it's English and German, but it used to be like German only. We're still like obsessed about them because we used to be like not depending on them, but you know, we had their support. And
but it's also good, I suppose, because German tourists come to Hungary, so there is still a bit of support in that respect.
Kind of.
And investment, maybe.
They find us ridiculously cheap. Actually, even before the EU, before they had the euro, they had the Deutschmark. And with that one, they were always like laughing in our faces, like, you are ridiculously cheap, and come on, the country is really nice. I mean, Budapest, that certain lake that I mentioned, it's a nice country, and they found it like, I'm telling you, so that cheap. So for them to spend like a month or 2 months over there, it was like nothing, seriously.
So what's your currency?
Still, I think it's from this 16th century we have it, so we're never gonna get rid of that foreign.
What about the you know, the Russians, still looming large as a shadow from their dominance after the Second World War right up to 1990-91, when Hungary removed its communist government and embraced the West? Is there still a bit of a not good feeling towards Russia and Russians, or are things better?
We still have the gas. We get the gas from them, and a couple of certain things. So the economy part, they still stayed. I mean, we still have the connections with them. But let's say we're pretty okay with the thing that the Germans occupied us, and we had this like economy depending thing on them. But the Russian part, for some reason, Hungary is not that really proud of it, and they're not really happy with it. I mean. Just ask a Hungarian what the opinion is about the Russians. No, we don't really like them.
Probably because it lasted much longer.
It didn't really last longer. It's the thing that while the Germans occupied us, because there was a part during the Second World War, that they came, at least they were like about to do some kind of good things with the economy. But the Russians, they just like came and took everything, and by taking everything, I mean everything, even like animals, and they stole everything from the country, so.
So those wounds take a very generations to heal, I suppose. Okay, so that's history. Malta. You're in Hungary, growing up in your little town near the third biggest city in Hungary, but I won't say it, something to do with St. Peter.
Sajó Szentpéter.
you decide that you're going to try and work abroad as a young person, as lots of young people are doing in Hungary. Not just Hungary, one must say. A lot of people move from country to country, especially in the European Union. And how did you decide on Malta? How did you hear about Malta the first time? What made you decide to come to Malta?
So, Malta wasn't really my idea. The first time that I heard actually a Maltese speaking Maltese was that I spent 4 months in London in my last school summer holiday, and I heard this guy talking on the phone next to the place where my friends were used to work. And I was like, you're speaking Italian or Arabic? Because I started laughing at him. I was like, I cannot decide. You sound like an Italian trying to speak Arabic or something. And he started laughing and he was like, oh, you have such a good ear for the languages, because it's Maltese and, you know, it's basically like the mixture of those two languages. And I was just Malta, is that the one next to Italy or something, you know? And he started laughing again and he was like, please, usually people, they don't even recognize the language, like, if it's similar to this, if it's similar to that. Second, they have no clue where Malta is. So that was the first time that I heard.
And you had a clue?
No, the geography, the teacher made it always so exciting for us, and we used to love his lessons, the geography lessons. And we had to learn, I remember, all the capitals of Europe, the European countries. Yeah. And all I remember that there was the tiny one under Italy with the, for us, you know, when you're young and you have your language, you find certain names pretty funny, and for us Valletta for some reason was funny. So that's all that I remembered. And when I heard that guy, I was like, Malta, that's the one, the tiny one under Italy. So at least I had a clue. I made his day, actually. So, because he said that usually people have no clue where he's coming from, you know, where that country is, if it's a country or something. So that was the first time. Then actually my ex-boyfriend came up with the idea, because he had friends, the ones that he, you know, used to grow up with back home. Was that he'd been known for like 20 years.
Your Hungarian boyfriend you're talking about?
Hungarian ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
So he just came home one day and he was like, oh, you know what, I've just talked to this and that, the friends that already had been here, like, what if we go to Malta? I'm like, Malta? No.
What were your life plans at the time?
My idea was actually Helsinki. Okay, when I was 17 years old, I spent 2 weeks in Finland, Tampere and Helsinki. So that was my idea, actually.
But what's that like? Just a little tangent here. What was so special about it?
Lakes that are huge, like sea, that all you could see was war. And we're talking about just, you know, lakes, not like proper sea. Really nice people, really nice atmosphere, but very, very cold weather, really bad climate. We were there for the first 2 weeks of May. We had -2, -3 in the morning. The best one, the peak was like +14, +15 degrees the last 2-3 days. So it was really cold, but the people are really, really nice, really helpful. They so cute. I love them. The whole atmosphere is really, like, friendly.
So you would have, that's what your idea was, that you'd like to go to Helsinki.
Exactly. I really loved it. I mean, for me, since I was there, that's, like, the top one.
But then your boyfriend suggested Malta, so what happened then?
I really had to be convinced, because I was really sticking to my idea that we go to Helsinki. He didn't want to hear about the cold weather. I didn't want to hear about the sea, actually, because I'm being a bit scared of deep water and sea. So for me, it sounded too ridiculous. Like, yeah, I'm scared of deep water. I'm scared of the sea, and I'm living on an island. So
again, I'm just going to go on a bit of a tangent here and interrupt you. The way you say water, it sounds American. Did you learn English in Hungary, or you seem to have the way you speak English is with very much of an American accent? Is that how it is taught in Hungary, or did you pick it up here, or did you pick up English from speaking to various people of very different nationalities?
So, as I've always been so that obsessed about English, I took this bilingual course, Because over here, as far as I know, for you, it's like everyday thing to learn things in English.
Yes.
For us, no, everything in Hungarian. Mm-hmm. But the bilingual course is about learning a couple of subjects. In my case, it was history, civilization, geography, and biology. We need to learn those in English. We need to do the exams in English, everything. And we need to have native speakers as teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So me, for 4 years, I had an American one, actually.
Okay.
And then for another 2 years, I had a guy who was not English, half English, half Welsh, because he said that he's always been so proud of the Welsh side.
Okay.
So he wasn't introducing himself, hey, my name is Jeff Hall, I'm English. No, half English, half Welsh. And he used to love it, and he always made a point that it's really important that he's half Welsh.
Mm-hmm.
So because of Robin, because of the American one, I had the accent when I, by the time that I finished the school over there, it was really like American. And now I've been told for the last couple of years that I'm really like kind of Maltese English as well. Like, you can hear that I've been here for more than a week, actually. I'm taking it.
You're absorbing the Maltese. Yes, we'll speak about that a bit later as well. Malta, you were not convinced, the sea, but eventually you did make it. So what changed your mind? What made you come here?
Took me a year, I think. The first couple of weeks when you have this cultural shock, you know? Like, first 2 weeks, okay, we're on a holiday. Then by the third week, by the fourth week, you realize that, yeah, this is the place that you're going to spend at least a year. And then I started like, no way, because we're so different, even our everyday thing. When I saw those trucks with vegetables, that they are selling vegetables and fruits, I was like, what the hell? And the Hungarian, one of our Hungarian friends was like, it's a truck, sells vegetables, sells fruit. If you need it, you don't go to the shop. You find these trucks on the street and you buy. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It's like so that 20th century or something. So, you know, when you have this
culture, it seems very old-fashioned to you, not something normal.
I've never seen something like that before. So
this is another interesting point brought up in this program.
So when you see these like small everyday things, that means like it's so obvious for you. I'm like, seriously, how the hell? What the hell? You know, like just grabbing my eyes from one point to another one, like, what the hell? And for you, it's such an everyday thing. Yeah, I started like panicking that I'm gonna spend a year over here, you know, like, what's gonna happen? And I kept on checking the flights, telling my ex, like, I'm really sorry, I'm leaving. And he was like, just give us a year. I mean, even the others, they love it. So probably by a year, you're gonna get used to it and you're gonna like it. And I just started laughing in his face, like, no way I can bet on that.
But he was getting used to Malta quicker. He was enjoying it straight away. He thought it was a good place, that he felt he could settle here quicker.
Exactly. But the funny thing was that after like a year and a half, I fell in love with Malta. I love Malta since that. By the end of the second year, because we did another year, by the end of the second year, he was the one who had enough, actually.
Of Malta. Okay.
That's the reason, that's part of the reason that we broke up. He left, and I stayed over here saying that, yes, I love Malta. I'm feeling so happy over here, so no way to go back.
Well, the first, I always ask this question to all my guests. The very first impression of Malta when you got off the plane,
everybody's shouting. Seriously, I'm telling you, the first day, all that I heard was like, the neighbor, we were staying at our friend's place, the neighborhood is shouting, like they're having a fight. And for me to get used to it, that this is the way you are talking to each other, it's not like I'm listening to an argument, that they are swearing at each other or something. Everybody's so loud, and the way that you're speaking with like, I don't know, like passionate or something, like you want to kill each other and you might be just talking about the weather or something, you know? That was the first one. Second, the trucks, as I mentioned.
Vegetable trucks, yeah.
Because there was one just in front of the flat, actually, and the guy was always over there just like waiting for the people to come, and I'm like, you gotta be still kidding me that is working, that the guy is actually selling things and people are going, oh, not not saying like, let's go to the grocery shop, let's go to the truck. So those two. Oh, what else? Tiny little things, even about the gas and even about these heaters, when I was told that you don't have heating, central heating and things like that.
So Hungarian houses all have central heating, the central heating systems, but we have the gas heaters, the portable ones.
Yes, really? When I saw those, I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
I've never seen those things in my life, so that was another funny part, actually.
And then over 2 years, you fell in love with the place. What made you fall in love with Malta after that year that you were here? I mean, tell us about that.
So relaxed, comparing to us, comparing to Hungarians, and I'm really, I feel sorry about my nation, but it's true. We're so depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, you have this really bad atmosphere, like this real bad mood that you're on the street, you're going to these places like offices, the shop, and everything seems so like people are in a bad mood. And comparing to you, we're like workaholic. I'm telling you, many of the Hungarians were telling me, not me, thanks God, I'm not the type, that when they started working over here, everybody, the Maltese, they kept on telling them like, oh, chill, just smile, you know, and they were always told that they are too serious, that they have these serious faces, never smiling, and they're always obsessed about the work.
So people were telling them, cheer up.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. You know, just relax, you know, smile. And they were always telling me, many of the Hungarians so far, that the Maltese were always telling them, like, you're too serious, you never smile, you're like workaholic. And yeah, comparing to the Maltese, we're like that, actually. Mm-hmm. And the atmosphere back home, it's really, for me, it's really disappointing. And the one that I love over here is that people just start spontaneously talking to each other, like in the shop. Okay, I would get pissed off because actually I'm by the end of the queue waiting, and the cashier starts talking to this old lady, you know, and they're taking their time. 4 years ago, I would have got really pissed off. And nowadays, I got to the point that I'm not in such a hurry, like Eastern Europeans, and I'm taking my time, all right. And I see the good part of it. Like, people randomly, they just start talking to each other. They don't know each other, and they have a conversation. Okay, I'm waiting still in the queue in the back. Yeah, but even myself, I changed, and I don't feel that stressed, and I'm not about to hurry, and I'm not that, you know, restless anymore. And it's a cool thing. I see it's so cool that people are like so that open, and they just start, you know, talking to each other. Mm. Everything's relaxed. They're not in that hurry, you know. And I would call it lazy. 4 years ago, definitely I called it lazy, but now it's like, yeah, just take your time instead of like rushing everything and being so stressed.
Qed jintisimgħu il-programm Minajnejn Barranin fuq Campus FM li jixxandar kull nhar tat-tlieta fit-tminja ta' filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll jitstab fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.
I'm speaking to Anita Takac from Hungary, who's been in Malta for the last 4 years. And one question I like to ask my guests on this program, Minajnejn Barranin on Campus FM, is about food, the food of the country where the guest is from, and the food here in Malta, how they've adapted to it. So, Anita, tell me a little bit about the food in Hungary and how it's different from the food here in Malta.
Over there in Hungary, it's comparing to you two things, too spicy and too salty. We have, I don't know if you heard about gulyash. Gulyash is a Hungarian soup. It's made of meat. It can be either beef, can be pork. Then you have the potatoes, vegetables.
Oh, would it be something, I think goulash, we call it Hungarian goulash, and it's the way to say it is gresh?
Gulyash.
Gulyash, okay. I say it the way it's written. Obviously, I'm saying it wrong. So, okay, yes, I have heard of it.
Yeah, that's the proper way, gulyash, to say it. And that's like the most famous food dish that we have. It's like, it has a basis of stew, the way that you're doing it. And even stews, we eat many stews. All the food, comparing to you, is really spicy, is really salty. And when I came over here, I just realized that no, comparing to us, you don't have salt in your food. Everything is so like, I was always lacking something, you know, because back home we always make it so salty, so spicy, and now that I've been here for a while, I find it too salty and too spicy back home actually. And when I made this guyash, because I've been cooking guyash a couple of times over here, and I made the Maltese try it, they're like, oh, spicy, oh, it's salty. So the food that we are used to is something like, how should I say, much stronger, like it's really like a kick. If you take a hot cup of guyash, you're gonna be like, gosh, drinking like, I don't know, like a liter of water for sure.
Afterwards. Yes. And is there any Maltese dish that you particularly like?
Actually, I don't really know them that much. I know the snails, that you eat snails, which I liked. I don't really eat rabbits because I used to have them pets, like pets back home, so that would be the last thing for me. The horse, I tried the horse, which wasn't that bad actually. It's like deer, because back home we eat deer.
Okay.
And that was like pretty like the same, even the color, even the taste. But the bunny thing, I really skipped it. Everybody was telling me, you need to try the Maltese rabbit. No. No way. I'm sorry. But the snares, that was one of the most disgusting but the nicest experience, actually. I mean, you know, you see something that is really disgusting and you try it. After that, they are begging like 2 hours, you need to try. And that's nice. The horse and the snares, those are nice, but the Maltese rabbit, never.
Did you find it easy to get jobs here, and did you settle in quickly?
Yep. Had job for like, after the first 2 weeks, something like that. Then took me like a week, that I wanted to change the first one, took me like a week to find another one, and after that I never had any problems actually.
Are you treated well, or are you treated differently because you're foreign, or because you're Eastern European even?
To feel like treated different, and I've never had that. I mean, they always found it so exciting that I'm a foreigner living in a different country, and instead of a negative thing, I always felt like something positive. My colleagues, the Maltese that I was working with, they were always like, because you're here on your own. And first they were asking if I came with the family. I was like, no, you know, with my boyfriend. And for them it was such a big thing, because over here, as far as I know, you stay pretty late. I mean,
with the family, yes.
With the family, yeah. And back home we're about to, I'm really sorry, but we're about to get rid of them as soon as possible. You know, be on your own, live on your own.
Yeah.
Be independent.
Yeah.
And for my colleague, it's always been such a big thing, you know, like going living abroad is far away from the family, you know. And I was always treated pretty nice, actually. I mean, they were always helping with things, and they were never like, oh, because the Hungarian is here, the foreigner is here or something. They were always like pretty nice, helpful, explaining things if I didn't know, trying to make me understand these directions, because I'm still bad at directions, as I mentioned. And if I had to go somewhere, for example, the ID card, the Maltese ID card, I had to go for it, or ETC, they were all about to, you know, make me understand where I need to go exactly, what I need to do exactly. So I've always had really positive, like...
You, of course, and I know you a little bit, because I've met you outside of this interview in the restaurant and bar where you work, actually. You helped yourself as well in these last 4 years, I think, by picking up Maltese and slipping in the occasional Maltese phrase and sentence when you're serving people and working. How did that come about?
So, first 2 years that we were not about to stay over here, I mean... It's not like we had limits, I mean, like, exactly 2 years and we go. No, we were just, like, staying seriously for a couple of years. So that time I didn't think that I'm gonna end up over here. I mean, staying over here, I didn't really care. And I'm telling you, more than 3 words if I learned. That was America.
Probably the rude words as well.
With the Maltese kitchen, everybody was Maltese in the kitchen, of course. So, yeah, even if you don't want to learn it, you learn it. But... When I decided to stay over here, that was the time, like 2 years ago, that I started picking up. But it was like, I was just obsessed that I heard certain words so that many times. For example, there was this guy on the phone. Kollos, kollos, kollos. Mm-hmm. I heard that word within 2 minutes like 10 times, and he cut the line, and I was like, Jonathan, what the hell kollos means? Because you kept on mentioning. And this is how I started. If I heard something so that many times, I was like, what this one means? What that one means? And I feel lucky that with the languages, I was always so that easy. Mm-hmm. I hated French. I had to learn French because it was compulsory. But I was always good with it. Even if I hated it so that much and I couldn't wait to get rid of it by the end of the last year, I was always easy with the languages, you know, they just stay. And
can I interrupt you? What languages are you taught in Hungary that are compulsory then?
So I chose English. Then first I chose German. But as I changed high school and I got to this snob one, this posh one, we had to learn French, because French in the last, like, 10 years, let's say, it became so that fancy back home, so that nice, that people are going to learn, you know, French.
But basically, the only language in primary school, for example, is Hungarian.
It's Hungarian. Yes, so we don't really have subjects in different languages. The one that I mentioned, the one that I attended, the bilingual is the only one.
That was your choice.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, so you were picking up Maltese words as you went along.
And you know what I did? Last week, I managed to set a table for like 5 minutes that I was Maltese. Because they started talking to me in Maltese, like, Maidal Erba, you know, and I'm like, Eva, Jewa, Barra, you know. And for the first couple of weeks, they really thought that I was Maltese. And they said something that I didn't really understand. And then I was like, Blinglis, Yeki, Ojbok, you know, Wafimtex. And they're like, it was Maltese, and I'm like, le, minish, yinungariza, and they were really like, they switched the language, and they were like, they were amazed that I made them believe for a couple of minutes that I'm Maltese, that I was Maltese, actually, and I felt so proud, yeah!
That is fantastic.
Because, I mean, if I'm in the mood, and it's not that busy, you know, that you need to rush, and you need to serve people as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I like, you know, practicing, and I have these moments, like, I just try to, you know, answer in Maltese, I try to, you know, and I saw it, and they believed it, and I was so that proud, they thought I was Maltese.
So you've never been to a course or anything, you've just picked it up and practiced on your own. However, you do admit yourself that you're pretty good with languages, so you're like a sponge, you absorb a lot. I'm speaking to Anita Takac, or as they say in Hungary, Takac Anita, she's from Hungary, and we're talking about Hungary and her life in Malta. Anita has been in Malta for the last 4 years, and she works in the catering industry, and she's 24 years old. Earlier in the program, we mentioned Eastern Europe and how some people lump all countries in Central and Eastern Europe into one sort of basket. Sometimes people think that you're all Russian because they hear you speak in a certain accent. Or is that offensive to you?
The only thing that I experienced, I think, is that, you're from Hungary. Eastern Europe. The girls are really nice over there, you know, and they all think that...
Would a man have said that, or a woman, or...?
Yes.
They all think that once if they get to Hungary, to those Eastern European countries, all they're gonna see is that every single woman looks, like, beautiful, and they're really, like, obsessed about it. And
well, you do get the occasional Hungarian supermodel.
Actually, they're nice. I mean, back home, I really consider myself like ugly. That you're on the street and you see these girls passing, you know, and you're just like, she's hot, she's so nice, that one's beautiful, you know. They are really nice. And I'm telling you, for the foreigners, it's really like Hungary and Eastern Europe means nice girls, like beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. And they really like, if I go over there, all of them's nice, all of them beautiful. So I don't get it as a negative one. It's that kind of voice, you know?
It's just a fact of life.
Yeah, actually it is. And I get compliment. They consider me nice because I'm Eastern European, so...
So it's okay with you?
I'm fine with it.
The fact that some girls from countries in Central and Eastern Europe use their beauty for purposes that perhaps shouldn't be mentioned on this program, and then people in Western Europe, or let's say people in Malta, some people would lump all Eastern European girls in the same basket, Does that affect you at all, or bother you, or does it never come to mind? Or have you never been offended by anybody who assumed that just because you were from Hungary, then perhaps it would be easier to go out with you?
No, that one didn't really happen. But there was one funny case that I had these Italians. I was serving an Italian table, 5 or 6 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I must be from Eastern Europe. But all these conversation happened that with a really bad English that they had. So I hardly could understand what the hell they wanted first. So they're like, so you're from Eastern Europe? And I'm like, yeah, from Hungary. And in the middle of the restaurant, they started shouting that they are watching Hungarian porn, actually.
Oh.
And they started shouting names that I've never heard of. And they're like, but the Hungarians are the best, and we love them, we love them. It wasn't that nice, actually, in the middle of the restaurant, that they're shouting and everybody's staring at us, and yes. I'm like, okay, all right, guys, thank you, all right, okay, stop it.
Oh, of course.
But no, I never really got anything like that.
Could you tell us a few things that you dislike about Malta, some things that you think could be better and would make Malta a better place if they were changed?
Public transport.
Mm-hmm.
Back home, if you have the bus, and every single morning I had to take the bus of 6:50.
Yeah.
If it's 6:50, it means 6:50. Maybe 6:45, 6:49, maybe 6:51. But that bus is there. That bus is coming. The trains, everything. And back home, come on. It's not like our country is the biggest one. Comparing to the others, it's a small country. But still, we have distances comparing to you. For example, the distance that I had between my school and my house was like 22, 23 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, public transport is like, if the bus needs to be there on time, it's there on time. Not like over here that you're just waiting for the bus and it doesn't turn up, you know, and people are just standing over there waiting, you know, checking their phones, the time, the watches. And the bus doesn't come. Back home, it doesn't really happen. I mean, comparing to you, it's so well organized. I really gotta say that. So public transport is the thing that I hate the most over here.
And you've been here 4 years, and in these 4 years, there's been at least two changes in the people, the organization that runs public transport. From the old yellow buses, I think you got them when you first arrived.
Actually, the first 2.5 years I don't have much to do with them because we came by car.
And first
we were driving over here. All I know is that I started hating driving over here. The way how much I love driving back home, it's like became the opposite. I hated driving over here, and I was always passing the key to my ex, like, you're driving, it's your turn, because the traffic is such a nightmare. Parking is another thing. So about
and the driving is very disciplined in Hungary?
Over here, like, the highway code sometimes doesn't exist. Not like back home. And back home, we're really forced to drive, like, very carefully, because you have police everywhere on the streets. Like, they're just parking, and they're checking, you know, even the speed. They stop people to check if they've been drinking something. Because back home, we have zero tolerance. You cannot drink a single sip of alcohol if you're driving.
Mm.
So back home, it's really strict. It's really, really strict. So, you know, the highway code by heart, and I'm telling you, if they wake you up in the middle of the night asking, what should you do? What do you need to do? You need to know, and everybody's driving really good back home. Mm-hmm. Over here, it's more like I'm driving however I'm pleased. I feel comfortable with it or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say that, but driving is a kind of a nightmare over here, so that much of a hassle.
So your ex-boyfriend left and took the car, so then you started using public transport 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, that was the case. So about the first couple of years, about the old buses,
Ucetra,
I don't really have much of an experience. Mm-hmm. Even about, I'm telling you, the first like 2.5 years, that's pretty like out. And then I started using the buses, then I realized that yeah, if the bus should take like 30 minutes, it's never 30 minutes. If there should be a bus coming around 1 o'clock, don't take it for granted that it's going to be there by 1 o'clock. You know, maybe you're going to be waiting over there for another 20 minutes, and then you can start calling all the, you know, managers like, really sorry, guys, I'm going to be late, you know. So
you use buses every day, do you?
Yes, takes an hour to get to.
So you're pretty qualified to make your criticism. What about things you absolutely love about Malta? Obviously, there are some things, because you've decided to stay and you said you love Malta. Could you mention specific things?
Weather, climate, that you don't have winter over here. I mean, the one that you call winter, I would just call it a pleasant March, April. The first 2 years, I'm telling you, I have these pictures posing at Christmas time with the short sleeves on, and first I loved it. I was like, no, it just cannot get cold at all. But then you get used to, your body gets used to the climate. So now I started feeling cold, but still, no, it's not cold. Still, it's not a proper winter. It's like having autumn, then I have springtime straight away. Like, I don't have winter for like 4 years. That's one of the things. Then, as I mentioned, that everything is so relaxed. I mean, 4 years ago, I found it like it's ridiculously lazy. Like, nobody wants to realize that we should be hurrying up or something. No, it's the problem with us, probably with the Eastern Europeans, because it's like crazy. And I do love this relaxed atmosphere, you know, like Sunday you don't have much to do. I mean, you're not working. And you're just sitting in this restaurant. I mean, I have a couple of Maltese friends, and when we went for these lunches, I just realized that, yeah, we'd spend like 5 hours over there, you know, taking our time with the starters. No, first having drinks, then the starters, drinks again, main course, and everything is relaxed. Even these, like, you know, let's stop for a conversation, you know, not like back home, hurrying. Why the hell did you stop, you know, like, relaxed. I really love this atmosphere, actually, over here. It's really, like, nice. So different than ours.
And you've made many Maltese friends?
So far, I'm really proud to say that, yeah, I know many of the Maltese. And different ones, I met really different types of people. Thanks to another ex-boyfriend, actually.
Okay. A Maltese ex-boyfriend.
Okay. And thanks
so
to him.
Integrating very well into the society here.
Some improving. So thanks to him, actually, I met certain people that are really not like my, how should I say, really different characters than me. And because of him, I met his family as well. So I met really different type of people. So...
And you've made different friends and different from different walks of life.
I have different points of views, different opinions, different ways of thinking, you know, and it makes Malta like a whole picture for me, kind of. Mm-hmm. And it makes it even nicer.
Even nicer.
I still love it, even after 4 years, when people are asking, so when you're going to leave Malta, what's the next, you know? I'm like, no, I still feel pretty comfortable over here. So for now, I'm about to stay, for sure. I don't have any plans like, I should leave, I should go here, I should go there. I feel so that comfortable over here, actually.
Thank you very much, Anita Takac, or as they say in Hungary, Takac Anita.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
U dik kienet edizzjoni oħra tal-programm Minajnejn Barranin, fejn jiena kol il-fitz niltaqgħu niddiskuti t-tajjeb u dak li hu inqas tajjeb f'pajjiżna, ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni jew oħra għamlu lil Malta id-dar tagħhom. Il-programm jixxandar kull nhar ta' tlieta fit-tmienja ta' filgħaxija b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-10 ta' filgħodu, kif ukoll tistgħu issibuh fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.